Anyone in Vegas will tell you there's no business like show business, but you can't have the show without the biz. Showtime Photo Booth SEO is the go-to SEO provider for photo boothers. They are sure to bring the audience you need to your website via Google search. Come see the show for yourself at Photo Booth Expo Las Vegas, February 24th through the 27th at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Visit us at booth number 320. It's showtime. Welcome to Super Boothers. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Ismail.
I am so excited today, Ismail. Do you know why I'm so excited?
Because
we have self-help guru Bill Varenkamp and environmental conservationist Steve Benn on with the show today. I'm so excited.
We're excited too.
Hello.
Steve actually really does care about the environment.
I do, very much.
Yes, if you ever you follow him, you'll see all the coyotes in the neighborhood.
That's true.
It's really a thing in Texas. It's scary here.
Oh, yeah. The jogger, couple joggers got attacked in the last couple weeks. Yeah, it's a big deal. Well,
even then, in Australia, it's worse. They have spiders as big as like a door.
Oh, and a dingo might eat your baby.
I'm absolutely sure. Guys, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I was there recently.
I know.
Yes.
Right. Good to see you. Black Friday-ish.
Yeah.
Part of being in Dallas has like a lot of pros and cons. The ultimate pro is I can procrastinate as much as I want to. Because if I need a printer, I text Steve that morning and I say, hey, do you have this printer? And he's like, yeah, I do. I say, perfect. I'll be there in 10 minutes.
And I'm like, wait, let me get dressed.
I actually went and I got a new DMP DS620 and I got the luxury media.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff is legit.
Crazy.
Have you seen it yet?
I actually saw the photos and videos you showed me of you using that at your event. It looked very cool.
Oh, it is money.
It is.
But now those prints are obviously more expensive, right? So you probably use that for... Can you use that for every event, Ryan? Or did you use that for a special event?
Well, I'm all about luxury, so I can use it on a Tuesday if I wanted to.
This is true. This is true.
How much is it like per print?
On the 5x7, you're right around 70 something cents, Bill.
I think that's pretty close.
So that compared and, to like regular media for that.
Yeah, which is around 13 cents. So that's for like 4x6.
Yeah, as of right now, it's only in 5x7 and 6x6. Sorry, 6x8, but you can do print 5x5s or 6x6s with it, and it kind of makes sense in the photo booth because a 6x6 doesn't take that much longer to print than a 6x4, and so it doesn't slow you down. And quite frankly, this is one paper that you don't want to throw away till it's done. So,
yeah, your 5x7 print cost, you're floating around 30-some cents, 32 cents. Usually.
Whenever it comes to like the per print, that's kind of a little bit expensive. I mean, for real, like.
Yeah, no.
It's
definitely a premium.
But it's one of those that you say, oh, you want to wow your guest? Here, try this. This will make them feel all royal and regal and everything.
Yeah, so. we sent out sample prints right out of the gate to quite a few people, and it was great to hear all the stories come back about the upsells with key accounts, big clients, and the excitement around it. Certainly, who would have thought that it was so popular that DNP within 30 days sold out of every single box in the United States. Like right now, it's insane. Like they were like, we just can't believe it. We weren't prepared, had no idea it was going to be this popular, and we're waiting for more to come in. And my latest update is what, Bill, like March?
March, yeah.
And they had no idea that it was going to take off like that. And neither did we really. I mean, we had some specials around the holidays, and But right out of the gate, it was just crazy. And, you know, historically, you know, that goes back to wet lab printing ages ago. In the wet lab environments where it all started with chemical processes, and no one could really duplicate that look. Even on the inkjet side, they just really struggled to get that original look of the metallic. And so when I first heard about it, I was very skeptical. I'm like, oh, here we go. It'll be interesting to see what it looks like. And they literally mirrored the quality of the wet lab. And it's just so exciting. It's just beautiful, very unique.
Yeah, and the metallic, especially the metallic paper, is really, really nice also in black and white or sepia. So, you know, if you have those options on the start menu of your booth, if they do, like I said, if they do, it's, you know, black and white, or if you have sepia, it really stands out. And this is one of those where you want to have a light backdrop, a light background, and maybe even a, you know, no border around the photos, just so that kind of pewter look of the metallic paper shows up. I mean, it's a really, really good option.
Now, it's fascinating because there's a lot of people out there that kind of poo-poo media and are going all digital. And then you hear the story of something like this that did phenomenally well. What are you guys hearing? Like, what's causing that? Is that just because there are people always trying to find things to offer better for their clients?
Exactly. It's differentiation. It has the appearance of being a higher level of quality. You know, and when you, you know, booth operators come into the business from a couple of different angles, and, you know, some people operate from a level of good enough, a very minimalist view in their offerings of what they do. And then others want to offer everything, you know, and I think of people like, Murray Englander in Colorado, for example. That guy's got one of literally everything. I mean, whether it's a super booth or a mosaic wall, or, you know, what he's got, literally one of everything. And so like Tracy Hewitt in California, I think of her too. And they really get it because they look at their business as a toolbox. And depending on the client and the needs, they pull from the different tools, and they have, you know, they've got the business side of it down. So it really depends on your business and how you work it, really, you know, what you want to offer.
Yeah. Nothing tickles me more than having, you know, cause I've, this will be, see, this is 30. Yeah. This will be 36 years that I've shot weddings. No, 37 years that I've shot wedding in a couple of months. And, you know, nothing tickles me more than having, you know, potential bride, you know, say to me, well, you know, I went to so-and-so's wedding and they had this, what do you have that's new? What do you have that's different? And, you know, being able to do 6x6s on metallic paper, you know, that's the kind of stuff that really stands out. And again, they're, it makes them willing to spend a little more and hire you because you have that option. So that's been my wife and I, Tanya, we just booked a wedding for June. Same thing. We, you know, we showed them because I had samples and we showed it to them, and they booked us for the wedding and the booth with the upgraded metallic paper. So
it really is money, because whenever I did it for one of my clients and I didn't tell them I was doing it. So it was like double whammy surprise. So
nice.
What actually happened with this event, so this was a charity event. They had guaranteed about 500 people. So literally caterers preparing food for 500. Well, we found out that I guess 3 days prior to the event, there was a kid at the local high school that committed suicide. And so, so their guest list went down from 500 to 150 that actually showed up. So they kind of took like a big hit. And really the interesting thing was like people didn't show up to this thing. The only thing that they were like talking about was, so we kind of had to like pare it down a little bit, and we really just did portraits on the metallic paper. Cause I mean, we didn't want, like, we knew people were going to post it. So we were like, well, crap, how do I do this? How do I make it like fun, but still not overtly fun to where people like feel embarrassed about posting this? And so what we ended up doing was just doing like one portrait printed on the metallic paper. And like, that was like really the best thing of the party.
Awesome.
Nice. Good call.
Awesome.
What size did you do?
Really? So I had to configure. There's an insight.
5x7.
I didn't know if you did the full size or, you know, one of the square prints. So.
No, it was a No, it was a 6x8. So what I ended up doing was
okay.
Well,
it was 6x8.
I did a 6x8, but I had to split it into a 4x6. So
I understand.
Two photos, and I had to wait in between photos before I printed it out. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. Gotcha.
It was awesome. A thing.
No, good idea.
Yeah, you know, selling the value of the print is truly an art. And for people who come from a photo background, you know, they've had to learn to do it because it's how they make a living, is selling photos. And, you know, while people do want a digital file, the value of the print in some respects has never been more than it is today. And in some respects, it's because some people don't offer it. And in my opinion, that brings even more value to it in a competitive environment. So, but there's an art to selling visually, I call it, and speaking the language and attaching people emotionally, you know, to the sale. But it's out there, man. It's out there.
What else are you guys seeing? I've seen the perforated media being used as well. Is there anything like that or anything else?
Wow. That's so, you know, we didn't see it coming, but one of the formats I'm real excited to see is the 3x4s, where they've got the vertical perf on a 4x6, and DNP just announced that. And again, that's one that we're kind of waiting to see if it really catches fire. But the 3x4 format is something that people have wanted to look a little more like that Polaroid look, I guess. You know, where it leaves space for branding. You know, you could put float a square photo inside of it. That's kind of cool. But yeah, they announced some perforated papers for the RX1, which, you know, is one of the most popular printers out there in Boost right now. God, there's a gazillion of them out there. And they brought in some new perforated papers for that as well. So that's kind of the hot thing out. I think after PBX, some people get some in their hands, and DNP does some more marketing in the channel as well. We'll start to see more of that going out there.
Yeah. I was kind of impressed. They did some for the DS40 also. And for a discontinued printer, for them to bring out new media for a discontinued printer, yay DNP. That's pretty nice.
It's smart because you think about it, Bill, there's a gazillion of them.
Absolutely.
Out there. I mean, wow. You think about the life that printer had and the longevity in the business just as the workhorse that it is, and God, there's so many. So smart move on their part.
Yeah.
I've seen some interesting use cases where even for like corporate activations, people use the perforated media where there's an image people take at the top, and then you can kind of rip off a coupon or some kind of incentive for marketing. So
yeah, that I'll tell you that's the another one I like is the 4x4, 2x4, where it's got the perf that gives you a 2x4, you know, that you can use for that exact thing. And depending on what software you're using in your booth, you know, if you have, a contest mode or something running, you can set it up so that 2x4 becomes a drink ticket, a raffle ticket, a prize, you know, however you want to do it, or just straight up branding, where you end up with a 4x4. And that 2x4 becomes, you know, it can be a phone number. It could be 10% off at a restaurant. I mean, the creative part of the marketing part of that perforated paper, it's whatever you want it to be.
So for
yeah, they had it for the DS40 a couple of years ago, and I actually did it for an event. I did the 4x4, and it looked like a Polaroid because I was able to find the actual, like, you know, what it actually looked like, an integral Polaroid, you know, the ones that just popped out and processed in your hand. So I had that on the 4x4, and then I had a coupon on the other side. And we used the 620 media for New Year's this year at mine and Tanya's home party. So everyone got to use the new media. So they got we only did two photos, but they were able to snap them apart and everything. So it was, again, something new because our friends and neighbors know when we have a party at the house, we're going to have something different. So that was our fun thing for New Year's this year.
I'm such the opposite. I did my company party on New Year's. They were like, oh, let's do a photo. I'm like, I don't want to see a photo booth at
all.
If I see a photo booth that's going overboard.
Oh my God.
You know, nine years and two months ago now, we did our first photo booth ever on Thanksgiving, because 2 days later we had our first wedding with our photo booth. So we're kind of accustomed to having our friends and family beta test things for us, and they've kind of come to expect it, and we're happy about that.
I actually have this lovely picture of my grandmother trying out what an animated GIF was.
Fun.
And but it was the animated GIF overlay. So I have this beautiful photo of my grandmother playing with the green screen. It was just the coolest thing ever.
Awesome.
So we've talked cool. about metallic prints and perforated media. Just to clarify for everyone listening who may want to try this out, can you guys just like state what printers have this media and what don't generally?
Well, for the metallic, it's only the 620.
And the 820.
The 820 for your 8x10s, which you won't find much of that in, you know, the photo booth world.
Yeah, and actually it's 8x12 for the 820, so you can actually do 3 4x8s with those. So, I mean, it kind of gives a little something different to the table. Again, one of those, they've had the 8x12 media out for the, for the DS80 a long time ago. And we actually had the mayor of a city, I won't say which city it was, here in the Dallas Fort Worth area. We photographed his daughter's wedding, and he wanted something special for his daughter's wedding photo booth. And we said, well, we can do these 3 4x8s. And he went for that. So again, this is something I did years ago. But anyway, so they just came out with the 8x12 metallic, and there's also one that Steve and I haven't even talked about yet. It's called the silver pearl. It looks kind of like luster, but it's got more sheen to it. So again, it's one of those that you need to make sure that your image has, you know, again, light backdrop, or, you know, a border really, that's light, so it shows up, so it really pops.
It's what I, you know, with both of these papers, I always use the phrase, it's scene dependent. And it truly is. And that's why I encourage people to try a couple of backdrops, a few scenes, and really find which one matches the environment, because they do look a little different. Now, I say that, but we've also had sample prints sent out where people have put them side by side and said, I can't tell the difference. So again, and that's scene dependent as well. And so I really consider them, even though D&P markets them under what they call luxury media, and they call one metallic and one the silver pearl, to me, they both really have that metallic look. They
really do. I could tell a difference between the pearl and metallic, but I found the metallic so much more.
Oh, I agree.
More vibrant.
It just pops. Yeah, yeah. It's so unique.
They in the marketing materials that D&P put out with the silver pearl, they talk about, you know, pastels and muted colors, you know, look better on it. I think some people have, they have more of a liking to a lot of vibrancy and saturation and what would be called pop in the image. And then other people like things a little more natural.
I am not one of those.
And I think the silver pearl lends itself. Certain flesh tones, you know, you look at, like, some people have backgrounds, you know, where they look like wooden panels, like a barn, or, you know, I think of natural environments. And I think the silver pearl just looks wonderful. And I like the way the silver pearl looks at black and whites, too. Some people, again, this, because it's so subjective, and people are very different in their likes and what appeals to them, including our customers, right? So ultimately, you know, Ryan, you make the rules in your business. You know what you like, and you know your customers better than anybody, and you'll make that decision. And so it's it really depends on the person, and that's why we send out samples. And anyone that's listening, you know, we do send samples out. You can call in or email Bill or I. And we're happy to get a couple samples to you. And then you can make your own decision.
In those samples, you know, you guys are now including these metallic and perforated media as well?
Yeah, we can do that. D&P just sent us some perforated media to do sample prints on. So yeah, we will.
Oh, and speaking
of, we've always done sample prints. You know, one of the things that, and I'm really big on this here. I think that it helps the customer in a number of different ways. Sometimes people take a couple of samples to show clients without, you know, actually buying a box of media, and that's fine. Other times, and I encourage this before they buy a new printer, a lot of times is check out a sample print, and you know, and that's just the best way to do it. You know, you don't, buyer's remorse is no fun. We don't like dealing with it. You don't as a consumer, and we've always found the sample prints as a value added reseller as we are
got sample prints from you guys way back when we were trying to switch our printers. So I find it very useful. There's nothing like not everyone lives in Texas like Ryan does. So it's very helpful to get your hands on the media and see which ones you prefer. Yeah. So I definitely advocate that route for whoever's listening. Mm-hmm.
I don't have the time for that. I just buy this stupid thing and just run out of there. And
hey, Ryan, Ryan,
into my event and get going.
Ryan, trust us.
Oh, so you'd asked about the perforated media also. Oh, yeah. And just to let you know, so RX1, 620 and DS40. For the DS40, they have the 4x4, 2x4 single perf. They also have a 6x8 triple strip. So it'd be,
double perf.
Yeah, it's double perforated. So it would give you 3 2x8 photo boost strips. And then they have a center perf, which would get you 2 3x8 strips.
Love that format.
So that's kind of a cool wow effect. Again, it's like, oh, this is different. This is big. This is neat. So again, that's kind of the
how would you set that up on like an iPad booth?
You'd have to format your template to that size.
Yeah, you'd probably have to make it.
It would depend on the software.
Yeah, you know, you'd have to make it like 2 2 3x8s, you know, side by side, fill it with the photos, and then when it sends it, however it does to the printer, then the printer, you know, since it's perforated, they just snap them in two.
Sure. So would it matter? Like, I guess you wouldn't have to program the cut because it's perforated.
It'd have to be custom because it doesn't fall into what you'd call standard sizes, which, if you're using a program that gives you a canned format, you know, you're going to need to be able to customize that to the size you want to print, obviously. But
yeah, one other thing that the 620 brings is it does have a sticker media. So that 6x8 sticker media on the 620. So that's one thing it added to the 620 that it didn't bring to the 40 or the RX1.
You know, it seems like industry-wide to iPad booths. How are you guys see? Like, what do you guys see with printing from iPad booths? Is there anything you can share with us?
Man, I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. And this has been kind of a hot topic. You know, if you were at PBX a couple years ago, and you know the iPads were kind of coming on the scene, the printing from them was kind of a dark science. You had all these people buying, you know, routers off Amazon and stuff, and they were having all kinds of technical problems. And they were calling us and saying, help, help. And here's the scoop. At the end of the day, how well your device prints or doesn't print is completely dependent upon the software that you're using. And we've learned this because people have called in and said, hey, I want to buy a 620. And I, for example, I want the D&P WPS router. And then they get it and they start trying to print. They realize it's not formatting correctly. There's issues, and then they want to return them. And that's no fun. It's very expensive from a consumer perspective to open a box and use it and return it when it doesn't work. So here's the skinny on this. I tell people, go to your software company, whatever you're using on your iPad, and ask them. I know Curator, Mobi Booth, or Mobi Cloud, you know, they have instructions. They've sent them to me to send to customers to say, hey, your customer is buying a printer. They want to know how to connect it to our software and the iPad. Here are the steps. And it just paints it out black and white. Step one, step two, step three. They've done a wonderful job. From what I understand, SnapPick has some instructions as well. Yeah. Well, the, So, and I think they have some too. Now we do have people still calling in and they say, well, I've contacted the software company. They just said, do this or that. What do you think? And I'm like, hey man, regardless of what I think, you need to follow the instructions of the software that you're using. And really, if you do that, you're on the mark, because they'll hold, you know, they give it to you in black and white. But I, you know, some people just start going out and they're using third-party programs and, you know, buying routers on Amazon and stuff. And I, you know, they call me frustrated and I'm like, man, you just kind of built a wheel you didn't need to build when the software that you're using, that, you know, they know exactly what you should do. So anyway, to take that and now put that aside, the thing that's been cool is over the last, I'll say 12 months, actually, and even more so in the last 6 months, we now have more people printing with iPads, which is awesome. And they're calling us and saying, hey, I need a printer for my iPad. So that's been really cool too. So we've noticed a big uptick in that trend of people embracing printing with their iPads, which is pretty cool.
That is so fascinating, because a lot of people are kind of saying that's, we're going to digital. It's over. It's so fascinating to see how, even with the move to digital, people are still trying to find ways to incorporate printing. Like,
And a lot of times they get forced into it by their customers.
But the customer's always right. So if they want prints.
Yeah. I mean, they're the ones who make the rules, right? And if a client says, hey, we really want prints, you got to figure it out. I mean, you got to say, oh, well, what am I going to do? Say I don't print, and they go find someone that prints. So, you know, it's just a part of the industry. And with that said, you do have certain environments where, you know, the boomerang GIF is, you know, that's all that's going to be there. And there's a certain novelty to that. It's pretty cool. We all love it. We have them on our phones. And, you know, I mean, it's that visually, that's very entertaining. But, you know, there's another level to that, and that's also just doing straight printing. So
are there any other new printers that are coming out?
Oh, man. I was at IAPA in Florida. Couple of printers I saw down there that are coming. They're not really going to – it's not really a photo booth thing, but they're more high-capacity, bigger machines meant for volume, fast printing, cheap prints. And I saw a couple of those down there, but nothing I can really talk about right now. I think what's really exciting on the dice up front is that we have all these new product introductions. And, you know, the technology certainly isn't anything new, but what's changed is the level of quality, the speed, the cost per prints coming down, the offerings. And it's never been more exciting than it is today, actually. You know, you look at where it came from in the 80s, where, you know, it took forever to print, it was cost a fortune. And you look at where we are today, and it's just crazy. So like everything else, right? You know, over time, things just get to, you know, technology takes it to the next level. And
sure. What about other carriers? Cool, what about other carriers like, I don't know, like Mitsubishi or...
Yeah, that's a good mention. I mean, if you look at the players in the game now, I mean, we've got, you know, Fuji, you've got Mitsubishi, you've got Hi-Tai, you have Sinfonia. And when people call us and they say, what's the best printer? They're all good printers. And I tell people, it's really a matter of what's important to you in your workflow. Some people are like, I want the smallest, lightest thing possible because I've got tennis elbow, or I have enough to carry, or whatever. I've got a bad back. And then other people sometimes even don't like the look of a printer just because it looks silver or white or black or whatever. They kind of, you know, it's weird the different triggers people have on what's important to them. Some people call in and say, I want the best. Other people say, I want the cheapest. And then, what's the cheapest printer you got? I go, hey, don't you want to talk about quality or whatever? But the thing is, they're all good.
They complain about their customers doing that to them. So
yeah. But Mitsubishi, a big mention, you know, with Mitsubishi, my goodness, you look at their portfolio now, and they've been really putting some money into marketing and being more visible. Mitsubishi makes a really good printer, I have to say. And, you know, D&P just, they've done a good job. They, you know, they're out there. I think they're the most recognized name, but Mitsubishi does a really good job. My pick in their litter is the Mitsubishi 90. I still love that printer. I think the color science in it is insane in terms of print quality. When you really get down to nitpicking those flesh tones, the shadow detail, the highlight detail, you look at true color, you look at the color palette, you look at how it's being reproduced, and I just love the Mitsubishi 90.
Awesome. And both of y'all are going to be at PBX, right?
At PBX, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And are y'all going to do the printer bar again?
Yes, we'll have the printer. Yeah, bar.
We're definitely gonna have the printers there, and we'll be showing everything because really, that's the best way to tell is just have a look at them all.
And it's very popular. I love working the printer bar, not only just to say hi to customers, but people come up and you know they're like, hey, you know, I've you know had this issue, or I want to think about doing this, and I want to do that, and they get to touch and feel and look under the hood. And it's exciting to be.
It really is the best way. It really is the best way to kind of like see everything side by side and really like pick out exactly what you want. Anyways, mm-hmm. Thanks so much, guys. We really appreciate you coming on the show, talking about everything that's new in printing.
Oh, thank you.
Always a pleasure, guys.
And congrats to Ismail on his new family member there.
Yes, it is very, very
two of them. He's a dad and an uncle.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I did have another niece just pop up, so there's two babies. Wow,
nice. Double whammy.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
All right, guys.
Thanks. See y'all in a month.
Thank you guys so much for joining us this week. Next week, I will be in Australia January 15th and 16th at BoothCon. I do have a masterclass on sale. Please come see me. Tickets are available at boothcon.com.au. Come see Imaging Spectrum, Super Boothers, and Darkroom Software at Photobooth Expo February 24th through the 27th at South Point Hotel and Casino. Thanks so much, guys. We'll see you next week.